Dzień dobry, chciałabym wszystkich...
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the presentation of preliminary unaudited results of BZWBK Group for 2016. I'm here with Michał Gajewski, CEO of Bank Zachodni WBK, Eamon Crowley, CFO, Wojciech Skalski, Head of Financial Accounting Area, Artur Sikora, responsible for PR. My name is Agnieszka Dowrzycka. Carlos Polino, financial controller. My name is Agnieszka Dowrzycka and I'm in charge of investor relations. I'll hand over to Michał. Thank you very much, Agnieszka. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. After a few years' break, I'm proud to join the team of BZWBK, and as you know, the bank is one of the leaders on the banking sector, constantly focused on increasing the bar with a strong capital position, predictable and improving financial performance. For many years, I was an outsider. As an outsider, I was looking at the success and achievements of the bank and the entire BZWBK group. I was looking how much support they were providing to customers at their strategy and philosophy, how much support they provided to business and individual customers, how much they helped the local communities prosper. I must say that this type of business activity that's concentrating on helping people prosper is very close to my heart. And I'm proud that I can continue that. We're here to talk about the results for 2016. And I'd like to say that the group discounted all the good things that happened in the economy in last year, especially those relating to households, and that's an increase in wages, the 500-plus child benefit program, which translated into better consumer sentiment, low unemployment rate. As you will see on the figures, we took advantage of all of those factors and we outperformed the sector both on the deposit and the loan side, as well as asset management and funds. 2016 was marked by high external pressure. The low interest rate environment, growing competition outside of the banking sector, but also the pressure from the regulator, the banking tax, the new levy is the symbol of that, but there were also pressure coming from other sides. As BZWBK Group, we're focusing on our business, on our job. We're using all the possibilities we can. In that respect, I think the main driver and the main immune factor against external pressure coming from the regulators and the competition is the perfectly diversified business activity of the entire group. We have a number of business lines and each of them is generating a good scale of business that allows us to grow dynamically and using the effect of scale. 2016, the financial result attributable to shareholders is 2,167,000,000. Total income 7.6 billion. Stable when we look at the net interest income, the core business, that's an increase by 7%. Looking at the interest income only, that's 11%. The fee income we're at the same level as in 2015. We see only a slight decrease here. The income is good. In 2016, it was also good in terms of cost management, and this very significant ratio we've always been proud of, cost to income, was at a very good level of 46%. When it comes to sales and business development, 2016 was also a good year in terms of the retail business. We have an increase in retail lending by 20%. Volume-wise, that's about 30% year-on-year. We opened over 346,000 accounts. And I'd like to add that 60,000 of them were opened in electronic channels. And that's 100% more than in 2015. Generally speaking, we're following the trend. We know how the customer preferences are changing, where they prefer to do business with us, and how they want to communicate with us. Our transformation program, digital transformation program, is bringing results. And those large investments we made into new remote channels, as well as those made in IT solutions, CRM, data grid, they're of course now bringing profits. This is a positive information for 2017, because I think those profits brought by those will grow this year, as we'll be able to use its full potential this year. 2 million customers are using electronic channels, 30% increase in the number of customers using mobile banking. As I've said, customers opt four channels, and therefore we see how their preferences change. The volume of transactions electronic channels rose by 90,000. There were over 4 million of those. We had 13.3 million transactions in those channels. Customers want to do business with us in remote channels. SME business line, we see a development here. Improving numbers, higher sales to our loyal customers, but we see active customer acquisition in corporate banking. We see higher figures in export financing, new business lines, food and agri, customers' asset in that sector higher by 23%. Before I hand over to Eamon, I'd like to provide you with some balance sheet data. Deposits rose by 11%, as I've said, so we outperformed the market. Loans by 8%, we also outperformed the market in that respect. In both of those lines, the group holds over 10% of market share. Our advantage lies in the number of customers. We have 6.4 million in the entire group. 2 million of those are digital customers. This is where large potential rights which we'll be using. So that's a small introduction from me, Eamon.
Thank you, Michal. I'll just turn you to page 9, actually, just to start, which is key ratios. And just to highlight a couple of things here. So you can see that our return on equity for the year was 12.8%. If you strip out the impact of the Visa transaction, it's actually 11.6%. So that's a base level to compare our 2017 ROE performance against, and it's something that we believe we will manage over 12% to get over 12% in 2017. If nothing had happened, i.e. if there was no one-offs and there was no banking tax, our ROE this year would have been 14% and it would have grown by 30 basis points. So it just shows you the impact of the banking tax on our return on equity. And that will be a similar impact across the sector as you see other results. Our loan deposit ratio at the end of December was below 92%, and indeed in the bank at 84%. So our liquidity and funding position is very strong. I'll come back to the impact of that with regard to interest income in a few minutes, but we have a very stable and strong position. And then lastly, just on capital ratios, our total capital ratio at the end of December is 15.1%. Our core equity tier 1 is 14.6%. If you included all profits up to the end of December that you know would be available for distribution, our total capital ratio would be 16.3%. So very strong by way of our capital ratio, very strong by way of capital generation. As I mentioned, that 15.1% really doesn't display the full extent of the available capital we have at this moment. If we just turn to page 13, which is just on loan performance, the President has mentioned some aspects here, but just let me touch on it again. Gross loans have increased by 8%. The market increased by less than 5%. So we outpaced the market by way of year-on-year loan growth. You can see that in the quarter we increased by 1%. So quite good performance in the quarter. We had the repayment of some property loans which brought the corporate book down slightly, but that was offset by growth in SME and some growth in large corporate. You can see then, if you look in the comment box, that the Biza Vubik gross loans were up by 8%. Breaking this down, mortgages up by 11%. But as the President has mentioned, zloty mortgages were up by 30%. Swiss franc mortgages reduced by 7%, down to 2.5 billion Swiss. Cash loans, credit cards and overdraft up by 8%. SME leasing factoring by 12%, with particular good performance in the leasing business, which you'll see in the appendix. And the corporate sector and property up by 2%. If you exclude mortgages from the GCB or the SCB loan book, it was up by 15% year on year. And indeed, it should be noted there that during the quarter, SCB entered into a joint venture arrangement with the PSA Group with regard to the car leasing business in Poland. And that's an area of growth that will come through in the coming years with regard to that aspect. And just lastly, on Santander Consumer Bank itself, it's Swiss franc mortgage book reduced by 60 million during the year to around 700 million Swiss francs. So they're the key aspects of our loan performance. The key message is we've outperformed the market and we've taken market share in that regard. On the next slide we see customer funds. Again, the President has mentioned here about their growth in deposits at 11%, ahead of the market, which is at around 9.5%. We have an LCR of 145%, so very safe, and we have an NSFR ratio of 116%, so again, very strong. Two key messages here. The growth in demand and savings accounts is 11 billion. Okay, so these are lower cost funding areas and display higher loyalty and higher connectivity with our customers. So there's been a growth of 22% year on year, which equates to 11 billion of a shift. And you'll see that our growth in term deposits or time deposits has only been 1%. And that's a strategy which we continue to adopt, that customers are moving to lower cost and more loyal and engaged and transactional activity. The second point I want to mention here is our ARCA business. We can see that our funds under management increased by 6%. We outperformed our competitors, i.e. the universal banks operating in this area during the year, and that we sold more ARCA funds. I'll talk about the fee impact of that in the fee slide, but it's, again, we believe, positive performance and highlights the attractiveness of the ARCA product suite. We just moved to net interest income and net interest margin. Our net interest margin grew during the year, or during the quarter, by 6 basis points. All of that was effect on the lending side, not on the liability side. We grew by 17 basis points in 2016, half of which was lending, half of which was liability management. By way of net interest income, up 11% year on year and up 5% in the quarter. So very, very strong performance in the quarter by way of extracting additional margin on our lending. I believe it leaves some space for us to gain some margin on liability management in the coming quarters. And I retain the previous guidance that we should be seeing this line increasing by 1 to 3 basis points per quarter. So that's the key message there. On the next slide, you'll see fees. Our fee income year on year has contracted by 1%, but we believe, based on market analysis, that the banking sector itself has contracted by 6%. So very good performance against our competitors. The key area of contraction is actually in insurance income, which is down 9% year on year, primarily related to the change in the insurance regulation. We believe that in 2017 we'll offset that reduction by way of increased penetration of insurance among our customer base. And on credit fees, they were also lower by 9%, primarily due to the fact that while we grew by 8% in volume in 2016, we actually grew by 10% in volume in 2015. So it's related to slightly lower volume growth by way of credit fees. Other aspects of our fee income performed well. Our cards, card volumes were up 18% in the year and up 8% in the quarter. We had good performance on FX fees, up 2% year on year in a very competitive market. Credit card income up 17%, and current account and money transfer was stable year on year, which again we believe is quite a good performance. The other aspect to mention is that SCB fee income was 7% lower, primarily due to the insurance change in the Act, and secondly, the payment of higher fees to partners, which, as mentioned in previous results, is actually good because they're paying fees for performance by way of loan growth by their partner entities. So if we just turn to the next slide, slide 17, this is our gross income. Again, as mentioned by the President, gross income 7.6 billion, 1% up year on year. But if you look at, if you exclude one-off gains, it's actually a 4% underlying increase in gross income, primarily driven by core income, which was up 7%. So it highlights a continuing aspect to our business that we're doing more and more business with our customer base. We're generating a better margin. We're generating a better mix of business. And while we're flat on fees, we see generation across key lines that will drive on into 2017. There's nothing else really I've mentioned by way of, in the quarter with regard to non-core income, so I'll go to the next slide, which is on operating expenses. Very good performance on general and administrative expenses in the quarter, particularly in administration costs, where we reduced the level of discretionary spend in marketing, in consultancy costs, better management of transport costs and data transmission. So quite good performance on this line. You can see the reduction of 14% in the quarter and 7% year on year. Staff costs also displayed a lower trajectory versus last year, being down 2% and up 1% in the quarter. And depreciation and other expenses related to two aspects. One is we had some capital expenditure which we capitalized in quarter four, which increased the depreciation charge slightly, and we had the provision of some one-off legal provisions, which, as I say, are one-off in nature and won't repeat into 2017. So underlying general administrative costs are down 2-3% this year. So very, very good performance on efficiency, and our cost-income ratio sits at 46%. It's our ambition to bring that cost-income ratio to a lower level, but 46% is progress on last year. If we just move to loan loss provisions and credit quality, so slide 19. Okay, so here we see that the cost of credit has reduced to 75 basis points on an annualised basis. You know, we can also see that, as mentioned at the previous set of results, the first two quarters were exceptionally low by way of their level of provisioning, and quarters three and four represent, to some extent, a more accurate level of provisioning. If we look at NPL and coverage ratio, the NPL ratio has reduced to 6.58% and the coverage ratio to 59%. Now, the reason why the coverage ratio has reduced is because we sold over $500 million of NPLs in quarter four. That had the impact of lowering coverage rate because these were highly provided cases, and it also had the benefit of providing some reduced level of provision charge in the loan loss provision level line. Looking forward into 2017, it's reasonable to assume that the SCB number will be around the 50 million mark per quarter, around that level each quarter, and they will have NPL sales through the year, depending on how the negotiations go. And with regard to the bank, BZ Vubica, it's reasonable to think we would be around 80 basis points consolidated with SCB. So that's a level which we believe is achievable next year. And depending on how the market goes, we might be in a position to beat that level. But 80 basis points is a reasonable level to think about. So if we just move to the next slide, which is just highlights details of the NPL sales. I won't go into the numbers themselves. They're quite clear. On the left-hand side, you can see that we paid 387 million in banking tax in the year. It was 108 million in quarter four. And costs related to the BFG and the regulator are outlined on the bottom left as well. So if you just turn to the next slide, which is attributable profit, slide 21. So in this regard, as mentioned by the President, attributable profit is 2.167 million, which is 7% lower year on year. On a like-for-like basis, so excluding transactions and the bank levy, if you looked like-for-like, it would have been up 12%, but it stands at 2.167. Our effective tax rate in quarter four was 28%, but that's actually related to the sale of NPLs. The effective tax rate for the year was 23.1%. So they're the main points. It's fair to say that it was quite a solid quarter, very good progress on core income, a solid performance on fee income, which I believe will recover in 2017, a good efficient management of our cost base, and in the provisioning line, while somewhat higher than in earlier quarters, we have provisioned on a number of cases and still performed at a level of 75 basis points, and we've managed our NPL position to a lower level based on sales. So thank you very much.
Zapraszam teraz do zadawania pytań.
Please ask your questions, Marcin.
Hi, Marcin, Deutsche Bank. I have two questions on your costs and your risk costs. On the cost side, admin costs were 320 million, and I think you've mentioned this shift between CapEx and OpEx that may have impacted this positively, and also some, I understand, provision release, right? So I'm... And you're saying that administration costs are down 14% year-on-year, for the full year, I assume, and excluding one-off costs, only 3% down. So could you give us kind of a normal kind of run rate for the fourth quarter if without the one-offs? That's on OPEX. And on risk costs, you've mentioned the significant sale of NPLs and that impacted the coverage ratio. But was there any impact on provision releases, both specific provisions and IBNR? And also, was there any impact on, well, revenue side as well? Sometimes there's also a certain impact on revenues from it.
Okay, so just your second question first. So on page 20, you'll see the pre-tax impact of the sale of NPLs. So it's 77 million. So that answers, I think, that question, is it, Martin?
Yeah.
Okay. And then with regard to the underlying cost base, you know, it's fair to say that quarter four was quite exceptional based on the administrative expenses that we incurred. So you want to know, you want to understand what our total cost base will be, our administrative costs run rate.
What would be a normal level for administrative costs in a normal quarter? You know, so what were the one-offs basically in the fourth quarter?
Okay, so I'd suggest a reasonable run rate looking forward would be between would be around the 350 million mark going forward. The only proviso I'll put on that is that we don't know exactly the impact of the revised terms of the Banking Guarantee Fund. We won't know that till the end of the first quarter or into this year. So it may lead to an increase in Banking Guarantee Fund costs, which fall into this line. But I think that's a reasonable level to think about in going forward, per quarter. You're okay on that?
Yes.
Okay.
And maybe on your dividend, I think you've mentioned earlier to journalists that there is going to be no dividend from last year's profit.
Okay.
Could you give us any, the way you think about FX mortgages? Because you're a great bank, very profitable, but you have the legacy portfolio from Credit Bank and from SCB. And how do you plan, and we've seen the December recommendation, dividend recommendation, which penalized the banks for FX mortgages, and now we are seeing this new Financial Stability Committee recommendations, which are also kind of penalizing here. Do you see any way to proceed with voluntary incentives given to clients for them to convert to zloty? Or?
Okay, I'll just touch the dividend, and then I'll hand the main question to Michal. Just on dividend, we have not made a formal decision on dividend, our dividend payment, but it's highly unlikely we will not be paying a dividend. Let me explain why. We, based on our capital position, we would qualify for a 50% payout, but the two criteria which reduce that, the first one being the share of FX mortgages to non-financial lending, we are between 10 and 20%, so over 10%, and the share of 07 and 08 FX mortgages as a proportion of all FX mortgages, we are over 50%. So in those two categories, they would reduce the level of dividend payout that we could make. But as I say, a formal decision will be issued as part of the financial statements, the audit of financial statements, which will be on the 17th of February. With regard to the Stability Committee proposals, Michal can answer that.
All right, I switch in Polish, right?
I would like to answer this question in Polish. The recommendations that were issued, they are both for the KNF, the Bank Guarantee Fund, and the Ministry of Finance. At the moment, we're waiting for those institutions to approach us, and I'm here especially the KNF, with a recommendation. Those recommendations relate to working on the best practice in that area. We don't want to, you know, go ahead of the peloton and be a pioneer. So we're waiting for some specific recommendations from KNF and then looking at what's happening in the market will take relevant decisions. We see where it's heading. Those customers with ratios, with their income to debt ratios that are very poor, we see that this approach is to provide support to those. This is where the recommendations are going, but we need to look at some specific interpretations.
Uh,
Łukaszenczak, IPP Mass Securities. Could you give us a more light standing behind the legal provisions booked in the quarter, whether this may happen also in the next quarter, 2017?
No, they will not happen, and we don't expect them to happen in 2017. They're one-off in nature, and we do not expect them to repeat.
Czy mamy jeszcze jakieś pytania tutaj z sali? Proszę.
Are there any other questions from the room? Please use your microphones.
Mateusz Krupa, Erste Group. I'd like to ask about the new KNF recommendations regarding dividends. Assuming that next year those new criteria 1 and 2 would be preserved, would you expect your shares to drop respectively below 10% and 50%? So would there be any change in this regard, if assuming that those criteria are left alone next year?
Well,
thank you.
I'd rather not. Well, of course, you're assuming that they'll be left alone, but the reality is we don't know if they will be left alone. So we can't really comment on, you know, what the future requirements would be. But it's fair to say that the second criteria is quite a difficult criteria, because it relates to the share of 7 and 8 as a proportion of all FX mortgages. And in that regard, if that was to continue, it would be quite a difficult position, because even if we had a very small portfolio, but more than 50% of them was in 7 and 8, we would still be reducing our dividend. So it's quite a difficult criteria in that regard.
Is it significantly above this 50%, or it's very close to this 50% share of 2007-2008?
It would be, as I understand, similar to other banks that are above 50%. Say, even if the portfolio was quite small, you understand, it's quite a challenging criteria.
If I may, come, Mr. Sif, Haitong Bank. Just wanted to ask about this asset yield improvement. Is this something that you expect to continue in the next quarters? And then on cost of risk, you said that 80 bps or less, and it seems more optimistic than what I think we heard last time. How much better this could be? Thank you.
Just to be clear on the second element, I'm saying 80 basis points, but we always like to surprise, you know, so that's
positively.
But of course, that depends on the market conditions and what happens. But I think for the purposes of your analysis and your thought process, 80 basis points is okay. With regard to the first point, it was what again, sorry? NIM improvement. Okay. So I believe if you look at our position at the end of the year, we actually built some liquidity on the liability side. And we believe there's some room to improve the average margin on liabilities even into 2017 with that excess liquidity on board. With regard to the asset side, it's been primarily driven by asset mix. We operate in core segments where we generate a higher margin, such as SME in leasing, in cash loan and credit card activity. So these are areas where we believe will further strengthen our NIM. And as I mentioned, if you look at the growth in the last year, half of it's on the asset side. You know, so if we can continue that trend, which we'd like to, it'll be good.
Proszę, Marcin.
Ja mam takie pytanie, może ono jest...
I have a question, maybe easier one. When we enter the bank, on the wall you see a cash loan with 4% and error, so the actual interest rate is much higher. Don't you think it's too aggressive? For example, looking at what happened to Provident when they will incur a new levy and banks undergo stricter and stricter regulations. Of course, we are looking at the market and what's happening. We pay attention to be compliant with all the regulations. our compliance area is always involved in all the decisions that relate to the new services, also the decisions regarding the pricing, therefore the actual percentage rate. And our strategy, our pricing strategy is to make them transparent to the customer. I'll have a closer look at that. I haven't noticed that before, but I will look into it. But I do not think we're breaching any regulations in that respect. Any more questions? I will therefore read a few questions we received online.
Pan Alan Weborn. Do you think loan growth in 2017 will be higher or lower than what you achieved in 2016?
Well, it's not that we don't think, the market also believes that growth will be lower. So we believe that our average growth will be in the 6 or 7% level. But it could be plus or minus that. But the key message here, we would like to grow in the key segments that we operate, where we can make additional cross-sell and transactional income with our customer base. So it's all to play for. We can see that the GDP growth in quarter four may not be as bad as was expected. It could be around 2%. So it's all to play for still by way of our activity in the market. And as I mentioned earlier on, we've grown faster than the market in 2016, so we're obviously doing something right. But 6 to 7%, I believe, is a level we should look at.
I ostatnie pytanie. Dzień dobry.
Hello. The net result of the group is 2.2 billion. Santander Consumer Bank constitutes which part of that result?
The profit before tax for Santander Consumer, profit after tax is 476 million for Santander Consumer Bank in 2016. That's a 9% increase year on year. We own 60% of Santander Consumer Bank, so the contribution to the profit of the bank is 286 million zlotys from our ownership.
To wszystko, co mamy jakby przez internet.
This is all the questions we got online. If you have any questions, that's your last chance to ask them. If you don't have any, thank you very much for coming here, and I invite you next door to the offline part of the meeting.